If you'll open your Bible to John chapter 17, that's where we're going to be tonight. I'm thankful that Pastor asked me to preach while he's away tonight. It's a privilege. It's a weighty thing to come and stand behind the pulpit and preach the Word of God. And so pray for me as I preach, and we'll begin prayer in just a moment. On Wednesday nights, I know it's a rush to get here sometimes. Some of you are coming straight from work, or maybe some have a night shift and you come and there's a work shift still ahead of you. Maybe there's school work to get done for tomorrow. I know all around the campus there's school students that are here and probably have things that they might forget tomorrow that their dog ate, or they forgot that they even had to do it, and those things will lie ahead for tomorrow. There's burdens on you, and you're heavy-hearted. Certainly today, I'm heavy-hearted over a young man, not much younger than me, who would stand for truth and not be ashamed to give the gospel and to have arguments, not heated, but arguments with people who would come and share their viewpoint and to calmly and compassionately give the truth back to them. And many times hated, and but now killed, martyred for truth. There's been school shootings of young kids, stabbings, wickedness. There's division, there's confusion everywhere. Nobody knows what's going on, but God knows what's going on. We come tonight to where we find hope. It's in His Word. We live in a broken and hurting world where the news breaks and you're just waiting for the next thing. But God wasn't waiting for that. He knew it was coming. It reminds us that sin did leave a deep scar in our world. But darkness is not the end. The grave has no victory. The sting of death is gone because of Jesus. Amen. Nothing can stop the plan of God. Nothing can stop His sovereign plan. We don't need reform. We need revival. We need Christians to be stirred. And I pray that that's what this will do. It'll take someone who is reaching thousands on a college campus and multiply it by millions upon millions of people. Not just who would hear, but who would be bold. And stand up for truth and for righteousness, to holy living, to not just coming and hearing the truth, but doing something about what they've heard. To lovingly confront those that God gives them to speak to. Jesus told His disciples in John chapter 16, verse 33, before His crucifixion, after teaching them and telling them, now you're all going to leave me. He says these words, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." These words echo across our country. They echo across this room. He has overcome the world. We have hope. Hope of eternity. But hope isn't all we have. We have a call. There's cost to following Jesus. It says, if any man will come after me, deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Following Jesus is not easy. We're told to count the cost, meaning if you start to the plow and you look back, well, this was more than I bargained for. He's not hiding the ball. You'll be hated. The world will hate you. Why? Because you're not of the world. If you're a Christian and following Christ. Now more than ever, we must boldly speak the truth in love. We need to awake unto righteousness, like Paul told those Corinthians, and sin not. Can we be careful that as we get stirred up in our emotions and in our love for the Lord and for justice and for right, that God is the judge? He will bring ultimate justice. It is not your job to be right. It's your job to do what's right. Let God be God. You awake to righteousness and speak up, but sin not. Don't do things in a way that would dishonor God. Take away from his name. It's on the heels of the promise that he is with them, that he's overcome the world, that Jesus prays a prayer. Tonight's message is the prayer of Jesus and found in John 17. In this prayer, he prays that his Father would be glorified as he glorifies, as God glorifies him, that his disciples would be sanctified, and that Christians would be unified. So let's read John chapter 17. We didn't get, normally on Wednesday nights, we sit and we pray with each other, and it's sweet to hear the prayer of another believer, praying for missionaries and souls to be saved and to share those burdens. And, you know, the disciples had asked Jesus on one occasion to teach us to pray. And, of course, we have the model prayer. Many times we call that the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. But I think this would be more aptly called the Lord's Prayer, Jesus' prayer. And so we'll have a prayer meeting with Jesus tonight, if that's okay with you. Let's read John chapter 17. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the world, the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. I now am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee. Holy Father, keep thou thine own name, those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee. And these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, but even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That all may be one, that they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Amen. Can you imagine hearing that prayer? The scene of having left the upper room, making their way ultimately to Calvary. Jesus would be going to the cross soon. As they walk through the streets of Jerusalem and passing a vineyard, Jesus teaches, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Abide in me and I in you. Of course, at this time, elsewhere, we have Judas Iscariot going to collect his money to betray Jesus. As they get down, getting ready to go over the brook, that would be running with blood from the Passover sacrifices, where soon after they would cross over and the disciples would see him praying and sweating, as it were, great drops of blood, Jesus stops and prays. And we got to hear that prayer. Jesus sat and he looked up and he lifted his hands and he said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy son. And a lot of times we would think that's where we would end our prayer. Bless me, God. Let people know who I am. But Jesus says that the son also may glorify thee. Jesus wanted the Father to be glorified. How would he be glorified? How would he glorify God? Well, surely, it would be a great crown, and there would be pomp and circumstance as he comes in, just like, you know, the palms that they were waving at him and they were throwing down. Surely that he would get a grand entrance, and all would worship, and it would be wonderful. No, he had a different kind of glory, a different way to show glory. Now, we should pause and talk about the word glory. What is glory? We use it a lot. Glory to God. How do we do that? It's the shining forth of who God is. How do you show someone who God is? It has the meaning of weight and worth and majesty and splendor. But how do you show that? I go, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. But how can someone else taste what I've tasted? When Jesus prays, glorify thy son, what he's saying is, God, on the cross, I want the world to see how much you love them, how much love you have for a world that hates you, that you would send me, that I would become the curse that they should be. Jesus had been pointing to the cross all the way along his earthly ministry. He spoke to Nicodemus that night in John chapter 3. I've been listening to Abby, my second youngest daughter, quote this verse. I should have her come in and say it. It's part of her learning in school, and I love it. John chapter 3, verse 14 and 15 says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And of course, we all know John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Pointing to the cross, he was going to be lifted up. Not with a banner waving back and forth, but on a cross. An emblem of suffering and shame. Later in John 8:28, he told the Pharisees, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. In John 12:32-33, he told his disciples, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. So when Jesus prays in John chapter 17, verse 1, Father, glorify thy son, he is asking that through his death on the cross, this instrument of shame, that God and his glory would be revealed, would be shown. Holiness, love. Do you remember what happened in the temple that day? How the veil was rent in two from top to bottom. God's glory no longer in an ark, no longer in that holy of holies, no longer that cloud by day and the fire by night. No more was the glory departed. Remember that? Ichabod, the glory departed because Israel turned to false gods and to beasts or worship animals. Can you go to John chapter 1? Indeed, the glory did depart. But there were prophets who told and prophesied that the glory would return. And it would be greater. And it was greater. John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the Word. And we beheld his, say that word, glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus was the glory of God, sent to us, glorified the Father on the cross by showing his love that was displayed in sacrifice. Philippians 2, if you'll go there with me, Philippians chapter 2, and we'll read verse 8 through 11, verses we're all familiar with. But if not, Philippians 2, verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Notice this, to the glory of God the Father. It's all about the glory of God, showing the world who God is, what his character is like. I remember growing up, going to camp, you know, we would sit and eat, and you know, you always say the Bible verse before you eat, and the one that we would always say is 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, and I'd say it just like that, do all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. And I, you know, we pray and we dig in. Have you thought about the call of that verse, the weight of that verse? Whatsoever ye do, I'm to do all to show others who God is. That he is loving, he is just, he is the truth, he's the way. No man comes to the Father but by Jesus. Am I showing people through everything I say, everything I do, in the mundane of my life, whether I'm just eating, I'm just going out to eat, I'm just at work, I'm just raising my kids, do all to the glory of God. Amen. The aim of your life is not your name, it's not your comfort, it's not your career advancement. If it is, when those things don't go the way you thought, you lose all hope. That's not where our hope is found. That's not what our aim should be. As Christians, our aim should be that people see God and that God is glorified in my life. In my life, Lord, be glorified. In my church, in my home, be glorified. In my food, in the things that I decide to do, I want people to see you. Jesus prayed that the Father would be glorified. He also prayed that his disciples would be sanctified. And we see that section, verse 6 through 19. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. In verse 7 and verse 8, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. You know, it's interesting. You're thinking about, well, what words did he give them? Hey, Have you read the Gospels lately? God gave Jesus the words to say, and we get them too. I love the Bible. It's a gift. You know, when we get saved, we do discipleship classes, right? And we take someone to a book, and we just take them, and now here's what you need to do as a Christian. No. We start with the Word, with the Bible. Jesus begins to pray for these men, and he says, look, I've finished the work you gave me to do. These men, they were yours, but you gave them to me. You've entrusted them to me, and I gave them your Word, and they believe. Everything that you've told me to tell them, they believe. In John chapter 16, he stops. He says, I wish I could tell you more. There's more I could say. Verse 12, he says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. See, he's preparing them. Hey, you're not quite ready for everything I have to teach you, but you're ready for the next step. You're ready for this. And even though you're going to depart and you're going to separate and you're going to be, Peter, yeah, you're going to deny me. Know that I've overcome the world. And when we meet again and when we talk again, I'm going to have some more things to teach you. But when the Holy Spirit comes, when I'm out of the picture and the Holy Spirit comes, there's going to be some things that you learn that you could never even imagine. He will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear. And he will show you things to come. He said, guys, the Word of God is a gift. So what's a disciple? That's a buzzword. We talk about discipleship or I want to be a disciple. Well, what's a disciple? A disciple is a Christian, so that's like baseline. You have to at least be a Christian to start to even consider to be a disciple. A Christian who knows Christ, follows Christ, is being changed by Christ, and is committed to the mission of Christ. There is no arrival. There is no like end of doing that. You are a disciple for your life. Or you cease to be one by stopping doing those things. You don't like graduate and get a certificate. I know we have discipleship courses here. We say discipleship class, it's a kickstart. It's a baseline of Bible doctrine and Bible truth of why we believe what we believe. Bible doctrines. Discipleship is a lifetime. Jesus said, these are my disciples. I'm praying for them. I've given them your word. He gave them the call, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Following Christ is being changed and committed to Christ. We need to know his word. But then we need to do something about what we know. Take it to a world that needs the gospel. They need the truth that we have. It's a gift. Jesus prays that the Father would keep them, would protect them, would watch over them. He says, I have kept them. If you look at verse number 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition. He also prays in verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Jesus is praying for their holiness, for them to stay true, to keep them from the evil, to stay holy, not to fall into sin. Did you notice he even mentioned Judas in this prayer? Not by name, but by the title, the son of perdition. It was prophesied that the Messiah would be betrayed by a trusted friend in Psalm. But it also was prophesied that he would be replaced. Judas did not derail God's plan. All of humans, mankind and the world's effort to derail God's plan has always amplified it. When it's ceased to be silenced, it gets louder. More people start to wonder, wait, what? What is happening? He's glorified. His will be accomplished. Doesn't mean that believers will never suffer. It means that suffering will not separate you from his keeping hand. Go back to John chapter 10 and verse 28. Talking about those who believe him, believe his words, believe that he is the Messiah. He said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And we see these words again. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Keep them. A keeping. A secure hold. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Amen. We have a promise of joy. I think joy is a hard thing to find. We find some people named Joy every once in a while around here. But out in the world, it's hard to find joy. In verse 13, Jesus says, and now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Remember, it was for the joy that was set before him that he endured. In John 15:11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. I can't help but think of Paul and Silas when they're in prison. Man, must have been a rough day. It was a rough day. They sang, they praised God. The walls came down. They stopped the jailer from killing himself. He got saved. His family got saved because why? They had joy. They said, stop preaching. They said, well, we're just going to sing. And our joy will open up doors and tear down walls of and strongholds. And they did. Like, literally, the walls came down. Salvation. That very night, because of the joy that was in. It wasn't like manufactured joy, pretend joy. It's joy that only God can give through a relationship and a walk with Jesus Christ, discipleship. Spending time with God and his word. He prayed that they would be sanctified. This prayer of sanctification. Verse number 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Verse 19. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, or set apart myself for this purpose of the cross, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Remember verse 16. Or verse 17. Thy word is truth. Sanctify means to be set apart. These disciples were set apart for a purpose. They were going to be part of the world evangelism team. And in the end of all the Gospels, when the Great Commission is given, did you notice the disciples didn't have to say, well, wait, how? How are we going to go? How are we going to do it? How are we going to teach people? Because they lived it. Jesus taught them. Be a Christian. A little Christ, a Christ follower, someone who seeks to do what Christ did. Jesus received the Father's word. So, disciple, you ought to know God's word. Number two, the next thing in the pattern, he gave the word to his followers. So, receive the word and then look for some people to share the word with. It might be some unsaved person at work, a child in your home if you have kids. It might be a saved person who needs the word and needs some encouragement. Give the word. Know the word, give the word. And then he prayed. He prayed for that follower. Prayed that the word would keep them. That God would keep them. That they would stay true to the truth. That they would be kept from the evil. We need to pray for each other. Oh, it's been a hard day, but you know, I've got this, and I sat and I did, and it's a team. We're a church family. And families are messy. There's things that happen behind the scenes, behind the curtain. Right? At dinner, you know. Somebody made you mad in the parking lot. Well, I'll just sit over here, and they'll sit over there, and never the two shall meet. That's not. No, Jesus said, no, I'm not going to end here. We're going to go for a third point. I want unity. Unity for the sake of the gospel. He says in verse number 20, neither pray I for these alone, meaning these disciples here, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's the immediate believers that are direct results here of the disciples and all of us. Jesus is praying for you. He prays that they would be one and that they might be unified. Why? That the world may believe that thou hast sent me, the end of verse 21. It's not just so we can just all get along, although that's great. It's for a purpose. And it's good to remember that purpose is bigger than any one of us. So yeah, I might technically be better off in my position. I like this a little better, but fine. I'll come. No. That's not the attitude we're supposed to have. Unity for the sake of the gospel, because I want this person to be saved, because I want the world to see that we're brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm going to watch my tongue. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing unto you, my God and my Redeemer. Amen. He tells us to go and teach all nations, and baptizing them, teaching them to observe all things. But for some reason, we were like, well, yeah, well, that's the world. Those dirty, rotten sinners, they need the gospel. Yeah, but they see it in how we treat each other. Unity doesn't mean uniformity. We're going to be different. We have different things we like. I love coffee. I know Brother Tony loves tea. And I think if he likes coffee, it's got a lot of sweetener and stuff in it. I love avocados and guacamole. My good friend Brother Earl, I do not believe, loves avocados. And that's okay. We can be brothers in Christ. We can be unified because the gospel is stronger than any other. And now take it a step further. There's plenty of things that we draw a line in the sand where God didn't draw a line. Well, I'm going to separate. He's a heretic. Now, I know what you might be thinking. There are some people we can't have unity with, and I agree. You can't have unity with people who believe wrong things. There's going to be a conflict of interest. That's why we're to be sanctified by the truth. Thy word is truth. The truth is our foundation. So we start here. We're to try the spirits to see whether they are of God. There's no other gospel. So if someone says, well, there's many ways to heaven. Well, no, that's not true. We have truth. We're not ecumenical where we just group up with anybody who puts the name Christian on the side and, you know, totes a book that looks like a Bible. I want to know the content. I want to know what you believe. So yes, that's true. There are lines we cannot cross. As long as we understand that the line that's not getting crossed is what is clearly written in Scripture. It's what unites us. That's what gives us strength. It's what gives us boldness. If I was unsure of what was in here, I wouldn't be able to have boldness if I was not sure that this was the Word of God. But I am sure. And Christians and church family, this is what we build on. So yes, correct false teaching. Earnestly contend for the faith. But do it in a sense and in a desire for unity, for the sake of love, for the glory of God, and for the sake of the gospel. Truth is, a lot of us will fight, gossip, share theories, have endless debates about things that are wood, hay, and stubble. I am included in that. I get worked up about stuff, and I'm a keyboard warrior. And people who weren't even in the post, they didn't post on it, they didn't share it, they just read it. Two believers that were disagreeing and having a squabble, and it was more than a squabble because now I've got my friends coming over and we're going to attack this guy and these, and he's got his friends and we're supposed to be Christians showing the love of Christ to the world. Well, no unsaved person saw my post. Yes, they did. It got shared 1,000 times. People saw it. We need to reflect God's love when it doesn't look very loving. When Christians are fighting, not just, we can put on a good face here, but I'm talking about to the world. Out there, Christians at your workplace. Well, I didn't know they were a Christian. Well, maybe that should be a first, you know, we should start talking about that. Have some boldness. We want the world to know that Jesus has come, that he loves them. John 13:35 says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. I think of a preacher who was attacked on social media not too long ago over a preference issue. There was no sin, no heresy preached, just preference issue. That's okay, we are not called to be all the same, we're different. We're in different parts of the world. There's missionaries all around the world who do not dress like us. They do not speak like us. They don't sing songs like us. And they're my brothers and sisters in Christ. We can be unified in that message. But they ran his name through the mud, told everyone that he's a heretic, heresy. Don't allow him to come and preach in your pulpit. And never called him. He says, they never called me. This is what he said when asked to respond. Said, we need a response. You know, you were real humble in that, but now we need to give it to these guys who did you wrong. Here's what he said. I don't pay attention to noise. I know who I serve. I will not rob God of his glory by responding to noise. I respond to noise all the time. God, help me not to steal your glory. And to take away the love I'm supposed to have for my brothers in Christ because of a difference of preference or opinions of certain things that aren't Bible, extracurricular things. Church, the world doesn't need to see more fighting. They need to see love. And not the love that the world talks about, the corrupted, this unnatural love, true love. Love that I can come and hug a brother in Christ and it's not weird. It's because that's my brother. Love that would give up a whole day to go help someone who is in need, to go visit someone who's in a hospital, to make a meal for someone. Some of us need to get off Facebook. Just maybe for a time and let the stress fall off your shoulders and get in God's book. Trust that he'll help me. This book is much better. Get off the news and go tell somebody the good news. One day we will not have an opportunity to tell this world about Jesus. The Great Commission will come to its completion and we'll all worship together with that. Every nation, tribe, tongue, there's going to be people from everywhere, all over, to worship because of the one thing that unifies us all, the gospel. Jesus came, and he lived a sinless life, and he died for you and me, and he rose again, and he was seen by many witnesses, and he continued to teach, and he ascended into heaven, and he's coming again. Jesus prayed. I'm glad we got to cite. There is so much in this passage. I pray that you will study it for yourself. More that I couldn't get to in 30 plus minutes. So what do we do? What do we do? So what? I like listening to Dr. Ouellette, and he says that all the time at the end of his messages. He says, okay, so what? That's great. We got to hear Jesus pray. So what? So what? Well, so what? I want my life to reflect as a Christian what Jesus did. That my life would bring glory to the Father. Whatever he has for me. Oh, bless me. A lot of times we'll pray, Lord, send a blessing. Lord, bless in this thing that I'm doing. Sometimes a blessing looks like a cross. We're told to take up our cross daily and follow him. Are we really counting the cost of that request? That I would glorify you with my life, with my family, with my ministry, with my work. That I would be set apart. I would be sanctified. I would be a vessel that God can use. Maybe we need to get some things right. The reason I'm not really allowing God to use me is because I'm holding some things back. I don't feel real bold in my faith because I'm afraid that if light gets shined on it, you'll see that I'm not fit for use. I'm glad we can come to the Father and ask forgiveness. He is faithful and just to cleanse us from all of our sins if we were but confess. And to have unity. That's it. To have unity. For the sake of the gospel, to the glory of God the Father. That whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. God has given us this church family. The gates of hell will not prevail against his church. So be a part of it. Can you look? Maybe there's somebody here that God has just, for some reason, they really are drawn to talk to you. God has given that person to you. What are you doing with the time you spend with them? What words are you giving them? Jesus said, well, God, I'm giving them your words. I want to give those that God has given me his words. That's my kids, my wife, my Sunday school class. Say, well, I don't have a Sunday school. I'm not in a ministry. Well, get involved and look around. Just maybe even tonight, take some time to write down some names of people that you can begin praying for, that you might be able to come to and give some words from the Lord, from his word. Take some time to, as you're taking notes in, on Sunday morning and listening of when pastor is giving you God's words, take those words and give them to somebody else. Write down some names that you could tell. Every member has a place, have a part. My question is, are you going to live out what God has prayed for? That we would be, our lives would glorify God. We'd be set apart for use. We'd be unified to accomplish the mission. That's the most important thing, that the world would hear the gospel. Jesus prayed. Will you respond? Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. Thank you that we can come and gather together to hear it. Lord, that you've preserved it for us. Lord, as we think tonight about answering, well, I'm grateful that you loved us enough to come and die for us. Lord, that you set in place a way for the world to hear this good news. And Lord, that you've called us to share it. And not just to go tell it, but also to teach and show people what it means to be a Christ follower. And Lord, we're not going to be able to do that unless we're doing it ourselves. So Lord, help us to hear your word, to be obedient to it. Lord, that you would be glorified with our lives. In Jesus' name we pray.